Alright, what's up guys? This is Marshall Kuchar, also known as Complex in Hip Hop Circles, and you are listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. How you guys doing? I'm doing alright. Still the same week that I recorded the last podcast, but had to catch up, so here we go. It's closer to the end of the week, and it's almost time to have my week off, vacation, which is good. It'll be another working vacation, but hopefully I'll be able to take some time out, hang out with the wife and stuff, and relax a little bit more than I did last time. We'll see. But hope to get to some cool art projects and get stuff done and all that, too. This time I'm going to be doing a lot of preparation for, obviously, the Paint and Pixel convention on October 20th, where you can get a free sketch card. Go to plexhop.com. By the time you guys listen to this, it'll be next Saturday probably, or I don't know, there might be a bonus podcast, because I'll probably air this next Tuesday or something, and then, or on the weekend, we'll see. And then, I might have another podcast, we'll see. I'd like to schedule one with Ryan Wheaton, because he just finished his first convention, and I wanted to talk to him about that, and we've been meaning to anyways, so we gotta get... See, hopefully, with me having a week off, and he'll have maybe some time that he can record as well, so that will be rad. So, yeah. Let's see, any new updates? As of yesterday, I need to get a new monitor. put a little tweet out there. I don't really know much about how monitors work and all that, but all of a sudden, I have, like, this green tint over my monitor or whatever, and I've had this same monitor since right when I like joined the military, and I've been out of the military for like 5 years, so that's like a good 12 years ago or something that I first got this monitor. So I need to get a new one. I realized it's a big clunky like Dell big TV looking monitor. Still haven't gone into the realm of flat screens yet, like the rest of the world, so might be about that time. Definitely don't have the money for it, but might be time to break out the old Best Buy card. I don't know. I know I can get stuff online for cheaper too, but I'll probably need something with payments, because I can't afford to buy a big, something for like a couple hundred dollars or however much monitors are these days. And I might call around, see if I can get one from someone, but the person I'm thinking about lives, they'd have to ship it to me, so they live a little far away, and I kind of need it now, especially coming this upcoming week. I have a week off, and I'm going to need to use the computer. I mean, that's the problem with artists. Obviously, you need to have a good monitor so you can, especially if you color stuff, you're not going to be able to see the colors right, and that's not going to work, especially when you're doing work for clients. So, got some stuff in my throat, sorry. Have to talk to the wife about that, see if she's down to do a little Best Buy trip. And yeah, let's see, anything else? I made some like custom sketch cards the other day. I like worked on like this little template and put like a little blue line border around it, just literally just a line. And then it breaks, like, at the bottom where I can put, like, a name or whatever. So I put just plexhop.com in blue as well. So it just kind of makes it look cool. It's like a little sketch card. And, it's all set up so I can just go print them at any time. I asked them to put it on cardstock. And they kind of put it on this cheesy card stock that's not even, like, it's nowhere close to as thick as Bristol. It's almost like paper, like, than it. So, I mean, it's a little better than paper, and I'll use them for, like, these free sketch cards probably. And the thing is it's, you know, it's the art, I think, that really sells the sketch cards anyways. And, I mean, they are cool. Like, the paper isn't horrible, you know. It's just not ideal, I guess. So I did that. And, you know, I have all the templates set up and everything. So I don't know if you guys are interested. But, you know, if anybody's interested in getting a little their name, like, in a font or whatever underneath a sketch card, like, with a little border, like, I'll put a picture up on the thing so you can see, but, you know, hit me up. All I gotta do is type it in, or I can send you the template, but, you know, I don't know if the guides will be saved with it and stuff. Maybe they will. I don't know. Maybe you don't need the guides, though, actually, because the thing is there's two templates. There's the one template for the actual individual card, and then I just take that and copy paste onto another template for a sheet of cards where you can cut it up. So, you know, if anybody's interested in getting a cool card template that you can, like, put your name under and have it look kind of cool, like professional sort of, but for sketch cards, you know, hit me up. I'll definitely be happy to do that for you for free, you know, as a bonus, as a listener to the podcast. So, yeah, that'd be cool. I did one for my buddy Michael Vlad, because we're doing this convention together, and, you know, I just, like, he's, like, pretty much Will McKenzie, or, like, the only artist, and maybe I'll make some for him, too, actually. We're the only, like, the only two artists that I really, like, talk to on a regular basis that actually live near me and stuff like that. And so, you know, if I have any way to help them out, I want to, you know, because they're my homies. And same for you guys, really. Like I said, I'll put the template. All you got to do is, you know, go to Staples, print some out. Maybe bring your own paper. That's a little thicker. I think that's what I'm going to do next time. See if they'll print on, like, some Bristol board or something comparable. Because they didn't... I asked them if they had a thicker one after I already had printed them. And I wasn't going to print more, but I just wanted to see what else they have for paper. And they showed me, and even the thicker one isn't that much better. So, we'll see. We'll see. But like I said, if they're going... for free, you know, it's really the art that counts, and, you know, I don't think it matters if it's, like, a really great grade of paper or whatever. So, but yeah, so yeah, I did that was fun to create a I kind of enjoy, like, making these little templates and stuff. I've been doing them for, like, the mini comics, you know. You got to set it up, use, you know, put the guides in. I mean, it's always an extra step that I gotta do, and it's like, oh, I gotta do this. But when I'm doing it, I actually do kind of enjoy it. I don't know why. It's fun to make things look professional on your own, I guess. Instead of, like, finding a template online, which I usually do look for one first, but tends to, like, it takes more time just to look for a template online half the time that will actually work for your purposes than, you know, just go in a GIMP and make one yourself. And it's tough because the way they display inches is weird. Like, the lines are not the same as they would be, like, on a ruler. So it's a little tough to kind of find the right spots and do a little, like, soft math. But I can figure it out usually. So anyways... enough about that. That's kind of boring. Let's see. Oh, another thing I was thinking about, and this will be like a mini topic, but then I'm going to get back into the selling stuff. I'm wondering, like, about conceptualizing for illustration, like, especially for client work. Like, I'm noticing that disconnect. Like, I don't... I have a hard time coming up with ideas for client work. You know, they kind of tell me what they want, or maybe they don't. They're like, oh, do whatever you want. So sometimes do whatever you want almost is harder. It's kind of tough. Because you want to please them, so you're kind of doing a guessing game of what will please them, you know, because they haven't really given you much to go on. And at the same time, you know, want to take some artistic trials and stuff. I don't know, you want to, like, experiment a little bit, because they said do whatever you want, you know. So, I don't know, conceptually, even if they do tell you what that you want, it will make it easier, but still, like, you want to put your own flair to it. They, you know, they hired you because they like your stuff, so, you know, you want to kind of put a little bit of your own flair in there. And so, I don't know, if you guys have any tips on conceptualizing for illustration, I'd love to hear them. I have not gone to school for illustration. I don't think I've ever really taken, outside of, like, regular arts classes in high school, and there was some illustration-y type of classes, but, you know, it was very mild, you know. But I've never gone to school and taken an illustration class, and I'm sure they'd have tons of, you know, stuff to help me conceptualize things and stuff. So, you know, I'd love to hear what you guys have learned maybe from school, or, you know, or just some tips on how to get the ball rolling. Because I noticed with my music, like, I usually just need to find a starting point. Once I find a starting point, it's, you know, I can go wherever I'm at. It's easy. Well, not easy, but it's a lot easier to build off of that. So I'm assuming that'll probably be the way I'd work with the illustration stuff, and that's kind of how I have been going. But I just feel like I'm coming up short sometimes when people ask me. And also, I think I make it too complicated. You know what I mean? Like, you want to, like, us as artists, I think we have a tendency to be like, if somebody says, oh, I want you to draw this, we have a tendency to want to, like, reinvent the wheel and make the best possible version of that, and or make something that you think that they'll like, you know. And I don't know, that's what I do. Like, I feel like instead of just doing exactly what they say, you know, you just want to do an awesome version of what they say, you know, put your flair to it, whatever, and that ends up getting me in that too precious mode and kind of that paralysis type of mode, and it can be tough. So, yeah, struggling a little bit with the conceptualization. Like, with my own stuff, sometimes I struggle too, but it's not so bad because usually my own stuff is fueled off of previous inspiration, you know what I mean? Like, I'll get an idea and I'll be like, oh yeah, I should do this, this, and this, and I can kind of go with my first idea with that stuff because I already got inspired and came up with something cool in my head. But with client work, it's not the same way, you know. It's not your own inspiration. You have to find inspiration, you know. So it's kind of tough, a little different. Like I said, if you guys have any thoughts on that, please leave a comment, or, you know, leave a comment on the website or on Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Email me at plex@plexhop.com and let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. So, on to the main topic. I think you could tell I'm excited to go on vacation. let's see, the main topic. Last week we talked about the four steps or processes in the sales process. Just a quick overview. It was qualify the client. The second was build rapport and trust. The third is educate and inform. And the fifth is close the sale. inviting people to purchase your awesome stuff. So, we talked mostly about qualifying last week. So, I guess we'll move on to the building rapport and trust. So, well, one of the main things that people have been talking about lately, and probably can attribute it a lot of that to Gary Vaynerchuk's book, The Thank You Economy, which is an awesome book. I highly recommend it, especially if you're fans of Crush It. You'll love this, I'm sure. But if you haven't read Crush It, that was his first book. That's even better. But Thank You Economy is freaking awesome too. So, definitely check that out. But basically, that's a good way. That's kind of an obvious way. One that people talk about a lot. It's a simple thing, but people neglect to do it. And you know, so just thank people. You know, sometimes I forget too. You know, and I have to, you know, go back like on my Twitter feed and be like, oh, I just want to thank you for retweeting. I do thank people, try to thank people for retweeting and stuff like that, because if somebody took the time to or not that it takes a lot of time, but if somebody's likes your stuff enough to retweet it, or even make a post. Like, I actually got a couple posts today or last night, not sure when. One from my boy Dirt, who is the founder of the Shadow Locust Crew, and one you can see him at on Twitter at Jeremiah Dirt. And I got another one from Christopher Battles once again, and his Twitter I think is at Mental Patient. So yeah, I'll have to remember these people's Twitter things. But yeah, they tweeted my stuff and said, oh, they really like my song and stuff, and that was really cool to hear, because I don't really get a lot of people that seem to talk about my music or get into it, and I think people just, like, I don't know, I don't know if how people's listening habits are or what, but sometimes I think people just, like, maybe listen to the previews on Bandcamp once, and then they're like, okay, yeah, I've listened to your stuff, or maybe they put it in their iPod and it goes in shuffle and they only hear the songs once in a while. I don't know, but to me, I feel like if people did really listen to my album, I mean, I'm not saying it's great or amazing, you know, it's got its flaws, but there's some stuff in there that's really cool, you know? And, you know, I don't expect some people to really be into it. A lot of times, just the fact that there's a lot of biblical or faith-driven content in there will turn people off from it. Even though I do respect the art, and I'm not one of these artists who do the music as like this is my ministry, you know, type of thing. I make music because I love music, and my thoughts on the Bible often come out just because that's what I think about a lot. And, you know, I've been noticing the stuff I'm writing lately, a lot of the kind of little art things are coming into it too, which is kind of fun and cool. Because I've been focusing a lot on that, obviously. So, you know, that's just a little tangent there on that. But, so building rapport. You want to make sure you say thank you to people. Just show your appreciation in different ways. Sometimes that can be, you know, giving out a free thing or whatever. Or buying something from somebody, you know, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of different things, even little gestures, you know, sending out cards to people through snail mail or even through email type of stuff, you know, that those little things can go a long way. But you know, be genuine about it. You know, none of this stuff works if you're not genuine about it. So yeah, there's that. And just basically caring for people, like that's in Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Crush It, He has one chapter that is one word long, and that word is care. That was like, it was like really cool, you know, that is like care. Like that's, and then he goes into it more like on the audio version, but basically that's kind of what the thank you economy idea is. You know, that it's, as crass as this is going to sound, it's actually a really good marketing tactic right now because, corporations and stuff, there's so many big corporations out there, and until this whole internet stuff came along and got big, you know, they could just kind of be the big corporation, the Pepsi brand, the, you know, I don't know, cereal brands, I don't know, all the food stuff, the just all the different products, the razors, I don't know, whatever, anything you can buy at Walmart. Walmart, all these big corporations, you know, they could just market to you and feed you in movies or whatever, you know, they could just feed this marketing to you through TV and just inundate you with it and, you know, make little clever things, whatever, put it on the radio, all these different media things, but they didn't have to get, like, involved on a one-on-one basis at all. It was, you know, shoot your thing out to a huge crowd. And because of the numbers are so big, you're going to get people coming and checking your stuff out. It's just a numbers game. So, but you can't do that anymore. Now, if you don't like a product, you can blast a little tweet out there and ruin a company's reputation. You know, there's a lot of things you can, that kind of bring us closer, and I mean, they still do that, and they still can do that, and they still can be the cold corporation, but right now, that's the advantage independent people, or like smaller businesses have, is we can take the route of being very individualized towards our customers, and really taking time out to get to know them. You know, that's, you know, a good marketer nowadays will actually know the names of a lot of their customers and even more information about them. The podcast Answer Man guy, why am I blanking on his name? I know his name very well. But go to podcastanswerman.com. I'm not sure I'm going to think of it. And check him out. But he suggests that, like, he has like an Excel spreadsheet type of thing going, and he writes down his customers' names, and then he writes down three things about them. Like, he'll write down their first and last name, and then like three things about them that, like, I don't know, maybe just like personal things that they know, or just where they live or something like that. Not like in a weird stalky sense, but just so when he does come in contact with them, you know, he'll know a little bit and be able to, you know, say, oh, you know, how's your son? You know, he's growing up now, right? Or something, you know, I don't know, just little things like that. So, you know, like I said, same thing with this, you know, if you're not genuine, if you don't really care about your customers, you know, it's not going to work. You can kind of fake it, but people see through stuff, you know, and I'm not the type, I want to be authentic, you know, I'm the type of person, that's my goal, I want to be authentic, and I am authentic, you know, I don't lie to people and stuff, you know, I try to be as honest as I possibly can at all times. You know, nobody's perfect, but, you know, I'm interested in being a real, genuine person, not faking it, you know. So, all right, so it's been said, outcare the competition, basically. You know, go the extra mile, that's a big part of it. Good example is Ted Sacco, actually. At paperengine.blogspot.com. That dude, I mean, I have so many pieces of original art from him. Like, he sends original art with everything and, like, draws on every envelope. And, I mean, he's just like, he's a beast when it comes to that, man. He just, like, he goes all out, you know? And he does it literally just for the love of it, I think. Like, I don't even think he thinks about the money. Maybe he does, I don't know. But you know, he's awesome, you know, and he shows he obviously does care, you know. He does it because he loves it, and he's just such a nice guy, you know, and it comes through, and it's obvious, and everybody sees it, and everybody knows it. I mean, I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about Ted Secco. You know, he's a cool guy. You know, so that is a good example. Like, all right, for example, when he did this mini project, comics project, he was like, "Oh, I'm running a little late, so I'm gonna send you guys this cool postcard that I made." And he made individual postcards for each of the, I don't know, 15 to 20 people, however many it ended up being. And like, literally drew an artistic postcard or whatever and sent it out to everyone. Okay, cool. You know, you didn't have to do that. Other people were late, you know, they didn't need to do that, and they didn't, or really, and that's fine. But that's going above and beyond. Awesome. So next thing, you know, oh, you know, the color printer didn't work out yet. It's gonna be done, but not yet. So what I'm gonna do is just send you guys the black and white versions that I just made. If that's cool with you. So we're all like, "Oh yeah, that's cool. I don't care. I think it's gonna be awesome. We're lucky if we get color, you know, it's no big deal." So he sends those out. Okay, cool. Then, you know, I don't know, about a week or so later, everybody receives the color version as well. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't think anybody expected him to send the color version. I know Mike Vlad was telling me he was surprised he got it in the mail. So it's like, wow, you know, I mean, he just went 100% above and beyond. And, you know, I can't remember all the different packages. Like, he might have put like a piece of original art in there, like a sketch card. I don't know. Some people did that. A lot of people did that with the mini comics. They put like a little sketch card in there too to go with it, and that was really cool too, you know. I put an extra mini comic in there, you know, just those kind of things. And that's one thing that's really cool with the comic community. A lot of times you get that. One thing I will say though, don't let wanting to put extra stuff in a package hold you back from getting it to people on time. Being on time probably trumps the extra stuff. Because there'll be times I've ordered stuff from people, and either, like I said, there's at least one situation where I didn't even get it yet or whatever. But, or, you know, I get it later on, but it's like, you know, 3, 4, 5 months later or something crazy. And, you know, it comes with the, like, there was one person I got stuff from, it was like, I don't know, 3 months late or something. Or 3 months after I ordered it. And it was supposed to be just like a little mini comic. That's what I was buying for pretty cheap. And then I get the package, and there's all kinds of extra stuff in it, you know. But it was took 3 months to get it. Now, I don't care. I did that just to support the person anyway. So even if they didn't send it, I would have been cool, whatever. But I do want them to send it, obviously, because I wanted the thing that I bought. But yeah, and then there was all this extra stuff, which was super cool. And, you know, maybe he did that because he was compensating for the lateness. I don't know. But either way, it's no big deal for me. But for other customers, that is a big deal. You know, you want to be on time. And there's one person I've ordered from often, and they always get stuff to me really quickly. That's all it is. They might have a business card in there, but they pretty much just send the book and that's it. Cool. I really appreciate the promptness. Like, that's really cool. That's like a bonus. Because with independent people, you don't always get that. And I sometimes slip up on the promptness too, but I'm trying my best to be really good at, especially if somebody orders something from my site, like I'll go out and mail it that day if I can, you know, if not, it'll be the next day, but you know, I try to get it out as soon as possible. Sometimes with the art commissions, it takes a little while because it takes, you know, a little bit of time to actually do them. And it depends too, if I have any money. Like, there's times where I'm like broke as a joke. And, you know, so I just literally have to wait till the paycheck comes before I can go to the post office. But, you know, like I said, I try my best to get it out quickly. Usually if you order something from me, you're going to get it really quick. And if not, you know, me sending it out right away, it'll be within the week or something, you know. So, that's that. Trying to think, there's a lot more to talk about on this topic of building trust and stuff like that. Like, I'm definitely not going to cover it all. There's so much. I mean, like I said, these first two things, and this one is really the heart of it, but like the first one is obviously qualifying and getting the right customer, you know, for your product and talk, you know, getting in touch with them. But the second one, you know, building rapport, building trust, that's like literally probably the most important thing you can do in the sales process. A lot of times you can do that. If you do that well, like I said, you don't even have to ask for the sale sometimes. You know, people will just come and buy stuff or whatever. So, you know, one thing you can do also is give things for free. You know, that's one thing, you know, but you don't want to, like, break the bank doing it, you know. Things for free, you know, if it's a digital copy, cool, or, you know, because that doesn't really cost you much. Or, you know, there's little things like these little sketch cards you can do. I mean, these sketch cards aren't like the full-blown color sketch cards that I do. They're going to be black and white busts, you know. So there's not, like, it's a lot easier. You know, you tell me to do a character, I'll do a bust of the character in, like, 5-10 minutes, whatever. So, it's no big deal, like, but, you know, I wouldn't do a full-on illustration for free type of thing, you know. So, you know, there's that. Also, like I mentioned before, knowing the person's name, people's names and stuff, that's a huge deal. To be able to know people, recognize them and know their names and even know a little bit about them and be able to talk to them and remember, like, even if you have hundreds or thousands of fans or whatever, or people who buy your stuff, I mean, even if it's just a thought, like they always say, 1,000 true fans, like, get to know those 1,000 true fans. If somebody's buying stuff from you, you know, get involved in their stuff a little bit, you know. Obviously, when it gets to be hundreds of thousands of people, which we should all be so lucky for that, you know, you're gonna have to pare stuff down when it starts to get really, like, in the thousands and stuff. You're gonna have to do certain things. But there's you know, a good book for this is the classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, by Dale Carnegie. I listen to that over and over and over because there's so many examples in there, and basically this whole care idea is, like, just exemplified a lot in that book. And there's one guy he talks about, he was a politician or whatever, and he was running a campaign for, I want to say Roosevelt or somebody, I don't know, I can't remember for who, but, you know, he, when he interviewed that guy, he said, I've heard people say that you know 10,000 people's name by their personal name or whatever. And he's like, I know 100,000 people or something like that. You know, he just, that guy had like a gift for it, really. But, you know, people who remember people, like, I guess one thing that they say is, like, a person's name is, like, the sweetest sound to them or whatever. So, like, when people say it, especially if it's a difficult name, if you say their name and get it right, people will be blown away. And people, that's, like, an icebreaker right there, just the fact that you knew their name without having to look at a piece of paper or something. So that's something I'm not too good at, to tell you the truth. But I definitely want to get better at that. And, you know, I try at least to get to know people. It's tough, too, with the internet, because you have to know, like, at least two names a lot of times, because people have, like, their aliases and stuff, especially with hip-hop stuff. Like, everybody's got, like, more than one name, and I don't know. Like, people who I work with all the time, sometimes I don't know their actual name, and I have to ask them, and it's weird. Or I try to call them on the phone, and it's like, oh, do I call them by their rap name? Or, like, that's weird, you know? What if their mother answers or something, and I'm like, hey, where's, you know, freaking Complex? And they're like, who's Complex? What are you talking about? I don't know. So it's a little tougher. And then, like I said, people have handles and stuff, you know, John 345 or something stupid. You know, how are you going to remember that and then remember their actual name? And then people also with the comic stuff, people put, you know, their drawings up as their avatars instead of their actual face. So if you happen to meet the person in person, you might not even know what they look like. So there's that too. But yeah, like I said, there's a lot you can do to build trust and rapport. One thing I do with the illustration stuff is I always say, like, satisfaction, you know, guaranteed. This project won't be done until you're 100% satisfied. You know, a lot of people do, you know, these things where the, for illustration work, well, you're allowed, you know, 3 free fixes, but after that, you know, you got to start paying a little extra for the fixes. You know, I might get into trouble saying satisfaction guaranteed, but it's one way that I try to build trust. You know, I want them to know that, you know, I'm not going to have them pay and then they're going to be left with something they don't like. I want them to know that this will be done to their satisfaction, as obvious as that can be. But so that's one way to build trust, you know, and there's a lot of other ways. Not pitching constantly, but just talking to people about themselves instead of about your thing. That's a good way. Asking questions about themselves, you know. A lot of times when you approach, if you're in the right environment, you're approaching them, and they know that you want to sell them something already. So, you know, that part's already there. You don't have, especially you're at a convention, you know. You know, and this is what I'm going to try to practice. I don't know. I've never been to a convention and done it yet, so we'll see. But, you know, I'm going to try to talk to people about them. Notice something that they're wearing, they're holding, whatever. Notice something and comment about it. And say, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Blah, 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 like stuff like that. Start maybe asking questions to them if I can. And then, you know, once you engage them, the fact that, you know, you've been a cool person and a approachable person will make them, even if they don't like the art, you know, they might be interested now. They're like, oh man, this guy was cool. I want to read his comic. You know, I know I get that feeling when I go up to someone's table and they're like that. I just automatically want to buy something, even if it's just something small, you know, just to support. So, yeah. So that's that. I'm sure there's so much more on building rapport and creating trust. But basically just being a good person is sometimes the best marketing you could possibly do. You know, let that part of you come out, you know. Always try to wow people and try to give a little extra if you can, you know. If you can't, at least be prompt, you know. So that's that. I'll leave it there. If you guys have any suggestions on stuff, like I said, on the illustration conceptualization, if you have any comments on that, please let me know. I could use all the help I can get. And if you have any ideas or thoughts on building trust with this comic stuff and with the art stuff and music as well, you know, I don't know if I have any listeners who make music or not, but if I do, or who are primarily musicians, but if I do, you know, same thing, you know, selling CDs, all that stuff, you know, we need to figure this stuff out and all that. So there you go. Hope that you guys are doing awesome. Like I said, plexhop.com is the website. Escape Artist Podcast, you look under the podcast link and you'll find Escape Artist, and that's where you can comment, that's where you can go to the show notes and find the links to stuff I mentioned and all that. Download it, share it with your friends, and I just want to thank you, as I always do, but I really do thank you very much for listening. I really enjoy this community that we've been able to kind of cultivate here. So thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. All right, later.